tell you something, brother.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rick Nash, and on this latest episode of Nash, well look, you've seen the title, you know what's coming, especially if you've been following my social media for the past while, or if you heard Ask Low Blows a couple of weeks ago, and if it's something that you think you're going to have an issue with, then don't worry, this is not a mandatory episode that you need to listen to. If it's something that you and I will disagree or fall out on, that's fine. I totally respect the fact that you can have a different opinion. But it's something that I feel like I need to do. It's an episode that I feel like I need to put out. Not only for my own sanity, but because I give a shit. And I see things that are concerning me, are scaring me a bit, and to look myself in the mirror when I feel strongly about stuff like this, this is the way I communicate to people, through podcasting. So I want to kind of make one show and then state fully my stance, in a way that maybe Twitter won't allow, or that we didn't get a chance to cover in, say, Ask Low Blows when we did the election special. And then, look, ultimately be done with it, because a few weeks ago I had someone accuse me of trying to piss off my audience and people who supported Low Blows, which of course I don't want to do. I've never held back my opinions for the sake of, you know, trying to like run a business. I'm kind of part of why I think people like and listen to Low Blows and would if they enjoy what I do, would like me, is because even if they disagree, they know that I mean what I say, and I'm not trying to just say the right things. So while I don't want to piss people off, and I don't want to get in fights with people that I otherwise like, and political differences can be a bitch for that, I do feel strongly, and I want to kind of make this show, then be done with it. But if you think you won't like this show, if you haven't already, by all means, you're more than welcome to click the back button and listen to anything else. Lord knows there is no shortage of other podcasts out there. If you're kind of on the fence or intrigued, or if you feel like maybe I might have had a point, then I'd appreciate you staying and just hearing me out, because I think I've got some interesting different things to say. And the main reason that I want to say them is out of fear. Because to be frank with you, I had someone get on to me and basically accuse me like I was afraid of Sinn Féin getting into power in Ireland. And I think they thought it was an insult. And I was like, yes, I am. And in my opinion, you should be too. And here's why. So over the past few weeks, when stating my beliefs, I've openly for the most part, like, I'm just on my own Twitter. Like, these are people coming onto my Twitter and slating me. I'm not going to their Twitter. Like, for example, when Sinn Féin did well in the election, I wasn't going onto their Twitter calling them a big, dirty rah head or whatever. But I've openly been called a tan, a blue shirt. I've been accused of just looking for attention, for whatever reason. I've had my business that has nothing to do with politics threatened. I've had someone say, if you don't stop right now, I am never going to come to another Low Blows party again. Which, like, what a shitty instinct. What a shitty 2020 instinct it is. It's like, think the same things of me, or I'm going to encourage others not to support your business. Like, holy shit. Like, it's for a country that claims to think of, like, itself as liberal and left-leaning, and freedom of speech is, of course, included there. My God. That's some hard right censorship shit right there. And all the while this is happening, things that I'd predicted all along had been coming true. Like, things that I told people, this is what's going to happen next, happened. And it's like, I've been gaslighted before. And for those who don't know, gaslighting is a term where it's you're made to feel crazy for things that you know are the case, or things that you know are valid, and you're made to feel like they're not true or they're invalid. I've been gaslighted before, and it's that I feel the exact same way. Because I'm like, I told you this would happen, it's happened, and you're still telling me I'm wrong. That's crazy. So let me set the record straight again. I'm recording this show from the front room of my parents' home, which was actually not a bedroom until a few months ago, when my lease in my old house ended, and I was forced to move, but unable to find suitable accommodation. I tweeted about this at the time. Some of you may remember if you follow me on social media. Here's the thing, though. I've got a job. Like, I make, you know, decent enough money and can afford market rates. Like, it's not a case of I'm poor or that I can't afford accommodation. I'm not. I'm grand. I was going to view places that were perfectly nice, that I was affordable, but, like, in a lot of cases, I was going up against 100 people, or I was getting told, well, we're only looking for a girl, and we thought you might be a gay man or something like that. I genuinely got told stuff like that. I had a good mate of mine, Sinead, who I lived with before, be like, bring me with you, and I'll tell them how nice you are and stuff, and it's like, they'll just think we're a couple. It was really desperate and depressing time, and nothing came up. Here I am, moving back with my parents after 10 years of being able to live away happily and comfortably, because we're in a housing crisis created by inaction on the part of the previous government. So for those of you who call me tan or blue shirt, or say that I'm a secret closet Fine Gael voter, no. And I think you know that. I think when you hear me describe my life, you know that that's not the case. Why would I be when I'm here because of them? I also want to take you back as well, just to kind of, if we're going to, like, get agendas or potential agendas off the table, I want to take you back to, I remember the date. It was September the 10th, 2009. I remember it because it was one of the worst days of my life. So without warning, and 2 weeks before Christmas, I had my social welfare cut off. My previous full-time job was, I was a security officer in a supermarket. It was a job I was kind of headhunted for, having worked there as part of an agency for a year, and I did such a good job, they actually created a job for me. The only bad thing was the recession hit. A local Aldi opened up in the area, and of course that's when Aldi and Lidl got big, and then that decimated business, and they took the approach that if it wasn't bolted down, it got thrown out. So I got let go, because even though I'd worked there 18 months, because the role had been created for me, so I had to start fresh, I was still on probation, and that was me. I got myself a casual job, the only job I could get at the time. If you were job hunting in 2008 and 2009, you'll know the feeling, I'm sure. And I got a casual job, which is working in gigs and events. But the problem was, there's some months go by where you work one night, so I needed social welfare, and that was that. And I remember it. The person behind the counter, the dole officer's voice, it didn't even change tone. As they told me, I should have been notified of the cutoff, and gave a half-hearted sorry about that. saying that there was just nothing that could be done. I remember walking home that day, completely numb. And for the first time in my life, I complicated suicide, because the thought of, you know, life had been going fine. I'd kind of done nothing. Recession had hit and circumstances had got shitty. And now here I was. I wasn't even able to buy a present for my 8-year-old sister at the time for Christmas. And these circumstances were created because of the incompetent infrastructure and the financial recklessness of consecutive governments. So suffice to say there, also not a Fianna Fáil voter. And my life is a testament to that. For the record, I'm left of centre. My politics, values and profile most closely align with that of the Social Democrats, to the point that I'm strongly considering actually joining, or at least volunteering to work with the party in the very near future. I'm kind of just seeing how the next few weeks play out before I make a final decision on that. I want to change, like a lot of people. I wanted a government with a strong left presence, and in an ideal world would have wanted both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil out of power, the same as if you voted Sinn Féin, the same as you probably did. I've never given either party a numbered vote, and the same goes for Sinn Féin too. I care about Ireland, and I want the best for my family, my friends, any future family I may have. I care to the point that I'm not afraid to speak up if I see something that threatens that. And that's why when people were saying, like, well, what about your job? What about this? What about, like, you're pissing off these people? I'm like, does that not prove that I actually care, and I'm not just doing this for attention? Like, I realize I may get blowback over this, but I'm continuing because I do give a shit. At the same time, while I want change like so many, I do pay attention to world politics and history. A subject which always fascinated me was how countries like Germany, whose regular citizens were surely not just all evil to the core, they were probably normal people like you and I, how they could willfully ignore the glaring warning signs and elect the Nazi party to power. And while I'd always, when I learned about it, empathised and understood how it happened, I prayed that seeing the horrific events play out in full would teach us a lesson for generations not to repeat that past. And then I stood back and watched history begin to repeat itself in a lot of ways. So how does that happen? How do you get normal people to vote in monsters? It starts with disillusionment in the system. In Germany's case, it came after the country was ripped limb from limb by the rest of Europe after losing the First World War. Not only was a former power reduced to pauper status, but its people suffered in their day-to-day lives, and anger built. A mob mentality was created. Empathy for others, it's often the first victim when a mob is created. In psychological terms, it's actually a genuine psychological effect that people experience. They call it de-individuation and the diffusion of responsibility. People feel safe in their anger and validated by being surrounded by like-minded individuals. They don't think about the effects of their behavior and attitude because they aren't acting as individuals and can pin responsibility for their behavior on others. It wasn't me who threw a brick. Maybe it was someone else because no one saw me. It wasn't me who murdered someone because the government told me to do so. I was angry. I was validated. Everyone else was saying it was okay, so I felt like it was okay. They don't think about the effects. They don't think about anything else. And their morals steadily compromise because the lack of control they felt when disillusioned starts to return when they feel validated by like-minded people in a mob situation. That's how it happens. That's what happens. We look to America even for an example. This is a country who celebrated their progression by electing a black president for 2 terms, then immediately regressed by electing a bigoted white man in Donald Trump because the white middle class began to feel disillusioned while losing their jobs during the recession, seeing the population majority or their population majority eroded and issues that pertain to them shelved, and so on and so forth. Trump's play was simple. He appealed to their patriotism and weaponized race as the enemy. Make America Great Again translated to them as, let's put your priorities back to the top of the agenda. And that's a simple and appealing concept to every single one of us. We can relate. That's why we vote for someone, because we feel like they have our specific issues at the top of their agenda. That's what makes people vote, and that's what he spoke to. The problem was, Trump pinned the blame for their struggles on an easy target: people with a different skin color. Traditionally, that works because they look different, they feel different, they are different, they have different cultural norms. So it's easy to say they're the ones who are wrong, because you can spot them, you can see them, you can pin something on them. Their morals began to erode. First, Trump was just an entertaining novelty act. Then he was representing traditional, i.e. white male, American values. Change in the form of electing the first female president was now seen as the enemy to be feared, because that's what led to the situations that made people disillusioned. No matter what scandal came out, people just didn't care. Trump spun it as a media conspiracy, and the term fake news was coined. No matter how damning the evidence, he calls for Russia to hack Hillary's emails during a campaign speech. He's recorded admitting to sexually assaulting women, grabbed them by the pussies. It doesn't matter. No one cares. The mob mentality is in place. Enough of the general public is now brainwashed, and history has taught us how far people go once that happens. That's how you go from being a country who has elected a black president to then immediately demonizing the people, the black people, and people of color, and different race, and different creed. We see this trend play out in other countries. Britain votes for Brexit and elects Boris Johnson's Conservatives with a huge majority. Germany vote for a neo-Nazi party to win seats in their parliament. The ultra-violent National Rebirth of Poland party began to rise in influence. Austria's Freedom Party, Hungary, Czech Republic, France, Holland, time after time, place after place, the pattern repeats. Disillusionment, mob mentality, claims of a media conspiracy to ignore problematic behaviour of the past of candidates, and then it all ends in electoral gains. People here like to frame this as a right versus left debate to make it go away and to rubbish any claims that there are similarities, despite the fact that that's literally all happening. As if everyone on the right is evil and everyone on the left is perfect. But the left has often been invoked throughout history to create this mob mentality to allow parties with other vested interests to gain power while claiming to act on behalf of quote-unquote the people. Have we forgotten that the full title of the Nazi Party is the National Socialist Workers' Party? I'm going to say that again. The Nazi Party, the biggest far-right party in the history of the planet, the full title of their party is the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Which brings us back home to Ireland and our socialist revolution under Sinn Féin. I watched all of this happen around the world. I feared. But Ireland seemed to hold strong for so long and remain a country to be proud of. We became the first country to nationally vote to legalise same-sex marriage. We repealed the 8th. An increased political interest from the youth of the country suggested positive change could soon be on the horizon. Then, when the pattern started to repeat here, it almost happened so quickly we couldn't stop it, or get on top of it, or even realise it was happening. The pieces were already there in truth. It just needed a competent, organised group to take advantage and get it over the line. The National Socialist German Workers' Party were formerly a paramilitary unit, but upon Adolf Hitler's release from prison, refounded in 1925 and swore to achieve their goals by political aims and disarm. Sinn Féin were the political arm of a paramilitary group in the IRA, who swore they would disarm and achieve their goals by political means. Sinn Féin's main political goal has always been to reunify Ireland's 32 counties. Hitler's manifesto Mein Kampf outlined his Aryan vision for success. But just as Sinn Féin rose to electoral success on platforms of housing and health, the Nazis won votes not by talking about how they wanted to ethnically cleanse the world. They won by appealing to the working class of farmers, teachers and public servants and promising them significant reform to restore Germany to past glory. That's how they were elected. And then, only then, once in power, did they get to actually go after their true agenda. The parallels here, they're terrifying, and they're just there. And the only way you have to bend your mind to say that Nazi party, literally former paramilitary group are like, no, we're going to achieve political goals. This is shit Sinn Féin say today. The exact same words are coming out. But people will bend their minds because they just don't want to see it. Because they're desperate. In Ireland at the start of 2020, the disillusionment and anger with the system was there. And look, rightfully so. I agree. I shared it. People wanted change and the myth was that Sinn Féin were the only party who could give it to them. This, despite the fact that Sinn Féin held just 5 seats following the 2007 election, which is less than the Greens, Social Democrats, Labour and the same as People Before Profit in the 2020 election. Their power was spread by people pledging to vote for them, votes which could have been cast in any other way and given a more realistic view of change. But mob mentality had kicked in, and any rational criticism of indisputable facts around Sinn Féin was being heralded as media bias or attacks from TANs or secret blue shirts, stuff that I had been called while highlighting these things. Or, as Trump voters call it, fake news, when yet more concerns come to light. It was just factual that Mary Lou McDonald was promising change and that a vote for Sinn Féin would cause that change, while making proactive steps against that. The amount of Sinn Féin candidates that ran in the 2016 general election, 50. The amount that Mary Lou chose to run in 2020, 41. Because of this choice to reduce the number of candidates, it made it almost impossible for Sinn Féin to form a government. And Sinn Féin has a history of walking away from potential power and influence, even when giving a mandate to do so. Remember, this is the same party who stand in Westminster elections, then choose not to use their seats to fight for causes that their voters want to address. They don't necessarily want or need power. That's not the point. The mob mentality was immune to these facts, though. They didn't want the questions asked because they didn't want to hear what the answers were, because this was the solution that the mob had decided was the right course of action. The entire purpose of this election plight was to get Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael out of power. Sinn Féin's ascendancy, combined with the fact that both major parties had ruled out a coalition with them and they knew that that promise would stick, made it almost inevitable that a vote for Sinn Féin would almost guarantee a historic Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael grand coalition by political necessity. I warned about this beforehand and was told that I was wrong, that the only choice that people had was to vote for Sinn Féin. It was the only realistic alternative, despite the facts that the maths just didn't add up. Now, we're seeing it play out before our eyes. Another election could prove disastrous to the Civil War parties, and they can't afford to risk letting Sinn Féin run more candidates to cut into their seats further. They'll all posture, they'll all go through the motions, but it's the only possible conclusion here. When you look at the actual motives of everyone involved, it's the only possible conclusion that can happen here. Fianna Fáil can't back down. They've made too big of a deal of it. Sinn Féin don't want Fianna Fáil to back down. Otherwise, why would Mary Lou McDonald in her first stalled speech, which, by the way, amazing public speaker. It was a great speech. Girl can cut a promo. But why would she spend 10 minutes absolutely torching someone that she needs to get into power? All of the actions spin towards this being the exact way that it has to go. And here's the thing. If I knew this, then Mary Lou knew this. Stupid is never an adjective you'll hear me use to describe her. It was a choice to reduce the number of candidates running, a strategy. Sinn Féin gains power by playing the martyr. Their poll figures surged first when it was announced they'd be excluded from the initial planned RTE leaders debate. If you still don't believe me that Mary Lou doesn't want to be Taoiseach, despite all this evidence, during that exact same debate that she ended up getting involved in, she turned to Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar and challenged them to tackle the UK on Brexit when one of them was Taoiseach. She claimed to want change. She told the people to vote for Sinn Féin would bring it, yet even she was preparing and planning for more of the same. That's what she was thinking. That is where her head was at. It wasn't her head in that moment was that, and she may not have wanted this to come out on TV, but her head was, there, one of them is going to be Taoiseach. I'm not. Yet she was telling people, this is the way change happens. How does change happen with Micheál Martin or Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach? Is that not the exact change that your people don't want to happen? Yet she's saying one thing and then letting slip another. She had intentionally reduced the number of Sinn Féin candidates running for that specific purpose. Why would they run, though, if they didn't want to win, you may ask? That's a fair question. Well, that's simple. Sinn Féin are a one-cause party. In the same way Hitler wished to ethnically cleanse the human race but ran on socialist issues to get the votes to enable him to do so, Sinn Féin's ultimate goal is to reunify the 32 counties. But while Hitler needed absolute power to do so to achieve his objectives, Sinn Féin don't. The situation with Brexit, combined with them whipping up a large Republican sentiment in the country, may be enough to force through a border poll, in which case they win. In fact, obtaining absolute power may actually be a threat to Sinn Féin's actual goals. Building 100,000 homes and creating an NHS-style system that costs money that Ireland doesn't necessarily have. To raise that money, Sinn Féin has pledged to tackle big business while lowering tax on the more vulnerable in society. Now here's the thing. That sounds appealing to a left-leaning voter base in the same way that a lot of Hitler's socialist reforms masked his hard-right intentions. But the reality is that it's a policy that simply doesn't work. The amount of employment created by our low corporation tax attracting multinational corporations forms the backbone of our public spending at the moment. Increase that. Incentivize said multinationals to move country, which they can at any moment's notice. And we are looking down the barrel of an even bigger recession than 2008. If the multinationals move, it creates mass unemployment. If loads of people are unemployed, they're not paying tax on their wages. If they're not paying tax, we have no money to spend. No money for public housing. No money to reform the health sector. Extra money needed for a rise in social welfare that's going to be needed to cap the unemployment. Again, if I know this, then so does Mary Lou. It's the kind of promise you'd make only if you were planning to reduce your election candidates and make it impossible for you to have to implement, because it doesn't work. The info I cite here, they're indisputable facts. Sinn Féin did run less candidates in this election, despite running on a platform of change and them being the ones to bring change. It does cost more money. Corporation tax does bring in the bulk of our public spending. They want to increase it, which disincentivizes multinationals. This is all true. These are all facts. And here's the thing, the facts were the exact same in past elections too. This isn't a new approach from Sinn Féin. Promise everything because you'll never have to back it up, then quietly push for a border poll has been their modus operandi for my entire adult lifetime. What's changed now is that they have a new leader who doesn't constantly remind people of the horrific events in this country's recent history Sinn Féin have had a hand in. What's also changed is that this is the first general election where people born after the Good Friday Agreement can vote. The same youth movement that was responsible for so many of this country's proudest recent moments formed a large chunk of Sinn Féin's core vote. You could say they were almost ready and waiting to be just snapped up. They were on the market. They wanted to create change. Personally, I've said it before, I wish they'd immobilised themselves into an active group rather than just staying there and waiting to prey on voters. I'd like to see what that party could do. I think they could bring a lot of positive change. They didn't do that on time, so Sinn Féin lapped them all up with their promises. Unfortunately, to this group, the words OMA, Maria Cahill, kangaroo courts, kneecapping, the disappeared, that's all stuff they just read in books. They never lived in that horror or fear. They didn't see the faces of the women and children civilians murdered for good news on the front. Sorry, they didn't see the faces of women and children civilians murdered on the front pages of the daily newspapers. It seems far away. It seems removed. It seems part of a distant past, not relevant to their lives in the same way not being able to find accommodation is. Sinn Féin seem honest to them, despite their parents growing up with the acceptance that the top down of the party was filled with trained professional lawyers. That's, if you associated with Sinn Féin with one word, it's lawyer. If Gerry Adams has one popular catchphrase, it's that he was not a member of the IRA, when we know for a fact that he was. But they haven't lived through the countless government manifestos that just never came to pass. They haven't been burned like I was by Labour in 2011 when I gave them my number one and believed their promises. They just haven't experienced that. And it's something that maybe you have to experience to learn firsthand. These are an intelligent, educated, more politically active than any other generation of their age in recent history. But their anger and disillusionment, combined with their youthful naivety that we all have, that our generation is better than the one before and this is going to be the one that makes the big changes, they make them easy prey to the likes of Sinn Féin, who have been planning for this for decades. So when Sinn Féin say the IRA are gone, they believe them because they've never lived through failed ceasefires before. They don't know that former Sinn Féin councillor Jonathan Dowdle was jailed for torturing people for messing with the IRA. You say, well, that happened a long time ago. It didn't. It happened in 2015. When it's pointed out that elected TD Desi Ellis is a former IRA bomber and the outgoing TD Martin Ferris has a history of armed robberies and importing explosives, they shrug because catchy songs tell them that something like it was a war against the evil British Army. But these songs don't account for the 3,500 plus Catholic civilians killed by the IRA during the Troubles, when they ruled communities with iron fists, traumatised innocent banks and post office employees with armed robberies, sold drugs, covered up rapes, and in the case of Gerry Adams, the paedophilia of his brother. This is who you're electing. Cry conspiracy all you like when both the Gardaí and the PSNI come to the same conclusion that the Provisional IRA Army Council is still running the show, but history tells us that time and again these warning signs come back to haunt people who ignore them in a big, big way. As someone I read online said, you don't get in an argument with someone from Young Fine Gael and worry that you're going to go missing. That won't be the case if this is who we empower. People ask, well, what are they actually going to do? What's the worst that can happen? What are they going to do? Even if the Army Council are in charge. So what if they build the houses we need? But that's the point. Enough people understood that electing Donald fucking Trump was bad news in 2016, but no one could have predicted specifically that he would ask Ukraine to dig up dirt on Joe Biden, or that it would come out that Russian hookers had pissed on him before, because those are incredibly specific things to predict. Even in Nazi Germany, though it's gone down as possibly the most universally infamous phases of world history, at the time, a lot of the German public were completely oblivious to the fact that millions of Jews were being callously exterminated by the truckload in concentration camps. The reality is that history tells us loud and clear, time after time after time after time, that if you ignore warning signs and elect scumbags, you end up with scumbags in power. Yes, they may have charismatic leaders who promise nice things, but so do creeps who offer kids sweets to get in their van. Want change, by all means. I do too. But in Ireland, we're capable of coming together and voting for a change that we can be proud of. I fear that this will not be one of those moments. And I'm not saying that as a tan or a blue shirt. I'm saying that as someone who wants the exact same things as you do.